around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's a great joy to be with you today and to share God's Word. The psalmist declared in Psalms 119, verse 105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Jesus himself declared in John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 and 14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." We need that light today, and that light is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And I am so grateful and so thankful and so blessed today to declare that Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, and my Redeemer. I thank God today for what he did for me, cross, when he took my sins and did away with my sins and grafted me in to his body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which reminds me, we should have our book here in just the next few days, and it's finished, finally completed. We're just waiting for them to be printed and shipped to us, and then we'll get those books out to each and every one of you. It is a tremendous right, not because I wrote it, but because of the scriptures and the clarity that it brings into the church, being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the bride, but the body of Jesus Christ. We'll be talking more about that in the days to come. I want to talk to you today about pain and suffering. If you are a Christian, you're suffering. If you're bearing your cross, you're suffering. As you've often heard me say, I do not come here to the microphone to sermonize, but I come to be led by the Spirit of God to minister to the people of God. I'm going to do something a little different today. We're going to play a song, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." Those of you that are from the old school Methodist church, this song is found in the United Methodist Hymnal, page number 474. "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." The song was written by a man named Thomas Andrew Dorsey. He was a black man. This man suffered a profuse and great tragedy. And during the time of this unbelievable tragedy, he wrote this song. I'm going to play the song today. It's sung by Randy Knapp and Kim Coleman. I know it will bless you. And then I'm going to share with you about this great black songwriter, Thomas Andrew Dorsey, who has touched the hearts and lives of people all over the world by the words and the lyrics of this song. I love the first stanza, "Precious Lord, my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Precious Lord, take my hand and lead me on." I'm going to play the song, then we'll come back and share some more with you about the history of this great hymnist, who wrote this song that has touched the hearts and lives of millions of people throughout the years. Written back in 1932, Randy Knapp and Kim Coleman singing, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand."
Precious Lord, won't you take my hand and lead me on? Won't you help me stand? You see, I am a child. I am weak, and I am worn. Through the storm and through the night, lead me on, take me to the light.
you're glad today that Christ can lead us on in the midst of the storm. I was just reading an article some time ago where songwriters, poets, and novelists have long mused over whether time truly heals everything. New study has apparently put their agonizing to bed and concluded that not even the clock can always mend a broken heart. This was from a team of medical researchers from the University of Aberdeen have said that the so-called broken heart syndrome can leave physical scars that never recover. This British Heart Foundation was a study and a research of patients between the age of 28 and 87. But you see, they don't know the scriptures. Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." This day are these scriptures fulfilled in your hearing? Scientists say a broken heart can never be healed. Jesus said, "I've come to heal the brokenhearted." It is without doubt. Many hymns were conceived in the throes of tragedy. Music is such an integral part of Christianity. You've heard me quote this passage in Ephesians 5 and 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. As I was conducting my uncle's funeral 2 weeks ago, one of the ladies walked up to me at the plot, the cemetery plot. She said, "It's a shame and a disgrace. I had to go to a funeral today to hear the word of God preached and gospel music sang." My wife sang at the funeral for my uncle. "I preached the word of God. I eulogized my uncle, but I also preached the word of the Lord." And this lady said, "It's a shame. It is a disgrace. I have to go to a funeral to be ministered to and to feel like I've been in church." This garbage, this nonsense that is called church today is so far removed from church. It's not about Jesus Christ. The messages evolve around the people, how God wants you to have your best, how God wants you to be blessed, how God wants you to be prosperous. I am so sick and tired of it. Why? Because for a true blood-bought, born-again child of God, that is not a reality. As I said, most times these hymns were conceived in the throes of tragedy. "Precious Lord" was written in Chicago in 1932, following the death of Tommy Dorsey's wife, Nettie, and infant son during childbirth. Thomas Dorsey was born in 1899 and died in 1993 and was born in Georgia. His father was a Baptist minister. His mother, a piano teacher. Known as the father of black gospel music, Dorsey combined African American church hymns, such as those by Methodist minister Charles A. Tenley, with blues and jazz. Needless to say, this worldly combination was not without controversy at first, but set the tone for gospel music for decades. Born in Villarica, Georgia, Dorsey was reared in Atlanta, Georgia, from the age of 5, where he came in contact with the musical sounds of the blues. He moved to Chicago in 1915 and studied at the Chicago College of Composition and arranging and began playing in nightclubs under a variety of names as a young man, including Georgia Tom, Texas Tommy, and Barrel House Tom. Dorsey started to play rent parties, house parties in which tenants would hire a musician or band to play for a party and to pass the hat to raise money to pay their rent. The rent party played a major role in the development of jazz and blues music. Dorsey put together the Wildcats Jazz Band to play for Maya Rainey in 1925. Dorsey's wife, Nettie, was Rainey's wardrobe mistress. After suffering a severe illness in 1926, Dorsey was converted in 1928 and became active in Pilgrim Baptist Church in Chicago. Beginning in 1932, he served as the church choir director for 40 years. Isn't it amazing how the prodigal son comes home? Just like myself. Out there, engrossed in sin and iniquity and worldliness, yet the Lord brings us home. Of Dorsey's 1,000 musical works, at least 200 were gospel songs. He promoted the gospel song through the formation of the National Association, often formed their own publishing companies in order to make their music available. He began the Thomas A. Dorsey Gospel Song Music Publishing Company, a publisher of inexpensive gospel blues music. Even though he had turned hundreds of jazz and blues songs to his credit, he turned to gospel music. One of the first to use that term. Following the death of his wife, Nettie, and their infant son in 1932, Dorsey provides an account of the circumstances surrounding the composition of this famous song. Let me just share a little bit of Tommy Dorsey's testimony. Back in 1932, I was 32 years old and a fairly new husband. My wife, Nettie, and I were living in a little apartment on Chicago's South Side. One hot August afternoon, I had to go to St. Louis, where I was to be the featured soloist at a large revival meeting. I didn't want to go. Nettie was in the last month of pregnancy with our first child, but a lot of people were expecting me in St. Louis. In the steaming St. Louis heat, the crowd called on me to sing again and again. When I finally sat down, a messenger boy ran up with a Western Union telegram. I ripped open the envelope. Pasted on the yellow sheet were the words, "Your wife just died." When I got back, I learned that Nettie had given birth to a boy. I swung between grief and joy. Yet that night, the baby died. I buried Nettie and our little boy together in the same casket. Then I fell apart. For days, I closeted myself. I felt that God had done me an injustice. I didn't want to serve him anymore or write gospel songs any longer. I just wanted to go back to that jazz world I once knew so well. But still, I was lost in grief. Everyone was kind to me, especially a friend, Professor Fry, who seemed to know what I needed. On the following Saturday evening, he took me up to Malone's Poro College, a neighborhood music school. It was quiet, The late evening sun crept through the curtained windows. I sat down at the piano, and my hands began to browse over the keys. Dorsey remembered an old pentatonic, five-note melody from his Sunday school days, United Methodist Hymnal. Those of you that are familiar with a keyboard know all the white keys are in front of the black keys. Their black keys are raised up, and there are five. Those are your five pentatonic notes. Dorsey was perusing the Methodist Hymnal, a song by George Allen, paired with the text, "Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone?" Arranging this tune and adding his own words, "Precious Lord" became the most famous of many gospel songs. He gave the song to Professor Fry, who introduced it to the choir at Atlanta's Ebenezer Baptist Church the next Sunday, an event that Dorsey later remarked tore up the church. The three stanzas captured the grief not only of Dorsey, but also of any who have suffered significant loss. The incipit or opening line of stanza one, "Precious Lord, take my hand," indicates a suffering soul that is reaching out. The singer acknowledges that they are at the end of their rope. "I am tired. I am weak. I am worn." Perhaps Dorsey was referring to Matthew 28, 23. Excuse me. That can't be right, Matthew 28. But the narrative where Christ stills the storm when he penned, "Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light." I'm sharing an article that I pulled off the internet, but I knew good and well it couldn't be about a storm, because that storm should be from Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous or strong, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of the living God. And that's one of the accounts in the Gospels. And then we have another account also in Matthew chapter 8. And that's when Matthew records these renowned words in Matthew 8:27. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? So, whoever wrote this article that I'm sharing with you today about the history of Thomas Dorsey obviously doesn't know their Bible, regretfully. But the writer says he believed he took solace when he penned those words, "I'm tired, I am weak, I am worn." Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Stanza 2 draws upon the imagery of a journey in which the way grows drear. The traveler cries out and once again reaches for the hand of Christ. The third stanza begins, "When the darkness appears," reminiscent of Psalms 23, verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." By the time we reach the third stanza, the terrain has changed from a stormy sea to a long road, and stanza 2, to a river of hope, stanza 3. Upon singing, "At the river I stand," the singer reaches at last the final destination, symbolic of Jordan River. Each stanza concludes effectively with the refrain, "Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." Perhaps an image of the Good Shepherd in John's Gospel, which would be chapter 10. "Precious Lord" has been recorded by many famous singers, including Elvis Presley, Mahalia Jackson, Roy Rogers, and Tennessee Ernie Ford. It is said that Martin Luther King Jr. drew inspiration from this, his favorite song. It was sung at the rally in Memphis the night before the civil rights leader's assassination. President Lyndon B. Johnson requested that "Precious Lord" be sung at his funeral. Dorsey was the first African American elected to the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame and the Gospel Music Association's Living Hall of Fame. Fisk University houses his archives as well of the noted musicians, even including W.C. Handy and George Gershwin. I wanted to share the history of that song with you today because some of you are facing maybe a tragedy, maybe a sickness, maybe your body is diseased, and everything you're facing seems to be difficult. Everything tumultuous, tempestuous, filled with anxiety, filled with adversity. I often think about Peter as he penned those words, not only anointed by the Holy Ghost, but from what we call empirical knowledge, knowledge by and through experience. Peter 5 and 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You see, Peter, of course, we know was inspired by the Holy Ghost to pen those words. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came in the old time, not by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." These just weren't some vain words written from a man's mind, but they were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God so that you and I would have comfort and solace. The Bible is very helpful in the time of trouble. Psalms 55:15 says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Romans 15:4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." I want to repeat that. "And comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." The Word of God gives me hope. The Word of God gives you hope as well. Too often, we do not relish, we do not embrace the Word of God, as we all must certainly do in the time of trouble. Psalms 119:50. "This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Psalms 55:22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." There's not one affliction that God will not deliver you from. Psalms 55:18 says, "He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me." You see, God's word truly brings comfort to the Christian. I do not know what I would do without the word of God in my life. It is in times of distress. It is in times of grave persecution. And by the way, the more godly you live, the more righteously you live, the more you walk in his love, the more you walk in his word, the more you walk in his light, the greater your persecution will be. 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Suffer persecution. We are joined to Christ, therefore we suffer with Christ. I was meditating the other day, and something deep within me said, "You owe it to your predecessors to preach the word uncompromisingly." And I thought about all the great men of God that have come before me, who were beaten and robbed and maligned and imprisoned and castigated, impinged. I owe it to them. But more than to them, I owe it to my Lord, my Savior, and my Redeemer to preach the Word of God in season and out of season. For His Word remains a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. David said in Psalms 34:3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together." What are you magnifying? Are you magnifying your problems, or are you magnifying the Lord? What are you magnifying? Yes, if you are a Christian, you're suffering, your heart is filled with pain and hurt. But I refute and I rebuke that Aberdeen University's study that the broken heart cannot be healed. Then that makes God's word a lie. Why in the world then did Paul the Apostle in Romans 3:4, "God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar"? God is true. But here again, that is a subtle attack against the word of the Lord. And it talked about poems and poets and writers of music and of lyrics and have mused throughout all of the years. And they concluded, a broken heart cannot be mended. But Jesus said, in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Only God can heal a broken heart. Scientists cannot do that. Medicine cannot do that. Surgery cannot do that. But God can do that. Some of you listening today, your heart is wounded. Your heart has been spear-driven emotionally. But if you endure the affliction, the anomalies, the aberrations, the attacks, the assaults, you will be exalted. I love Isaiah's words in Isaiah 61, which Jesus quoted. Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He binds up the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You, my friend, are the planting of the Lord. You manifest fruit of his spirit. John 15:5, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You can't get through this valley of the shadow of death. Because I'm here to tell you, for there to ever be a shadow, there must be a light. Did you hear that? For there to be a shadow, there must be a light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You cannot have a shadow unless you have light. For the last several days, I've been perusing this verse in my mind, John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. Embrace his power. Embrace his anointing. Embrace his comfort. I read where Tommy Dorsey buried the infant child in the casket with his mother. Some of you listening today, and others who are listening today, there's some of you who have gone through such deep tragedies, such deep valleys, such long, arduous, difficult valleys, yet you have remained faithful. And do not underestimate the blessings and the reward of the Lord. There are times we all grow weary. There are times we all grow fatigued. There are times we all feel like surrendering, quitting, giving up. Giving up. Tommy Dorsey didn't give up. Oh, those fiery darts from hell, that were shot at Tommy said, "Go back to the world of the jazz and the blues in which you are so acquainted with." But as he sat down at that piano, the Spirit of God began to bring comfort and to give him words that would comfort you and I. Romans 15:4, "For whatsoever things written aforetime were written for our comfort, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." These things that we read in the Psalms, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, these things were written aforetime for our learning. We have somewhere to go to read and to understand and read about those we can sympathize and even empathize with. These things were written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. You've heard me say, it's a terrible thing to become helpless, but it's a great and grave tragedy to become hopeless. Hopeless. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Let me quote that verse again. Romans 5:5. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." God said, "I'm going to send you another comforter." Through Jesus Christ, he said, "I will send you another comforter," John 14:16. I just quoted, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as an orphan. That's what that means in the Greek. I won't leave you as though you have no mother, though you have no father. I will be everything that you need me to be for you. Lead me on. Through the night. Sometimes our nights are longer than our days. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Help me to stand. I am tired. Some of you listening today, you're tired. I am weak. You're anemic. I am worn. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies." Think about that. Therefore, we are never hopeless. Romans 8:18, Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us." What you're going through right now is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in you. It's not worthy. 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." For our light affliction, Paul deemed it a light affliction. Why? When you take the affliction, the pain, the suffering, the sorrow, and the grief, when you take it, when you take it and you compare it to the glory that shall be revealed in us, Paul said, it's not worthy. The suffering, the pain, the hurt, the injury, the harm, the loss, the bereavement, the grief, the sorrow. It is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. I felt the Lord wanted me to encourage you today. He wanted to strengthen your hand today. He wanted you to know you're not alone. I'm here to tell you today, you are not alone. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is right there where you are in your circumstance, Christian brother. Dear pilgrim, the Spirit and the Word of God is here to comfort you, to strengthen your hand, that you might remain enduring. Even though you are suffering and you're tired and you're worn through the storm, through the night, He will lead you on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. That should be every believer's prayer today. Lord, take my hand. Help me to stand. You know, Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 6, this renowned passage, and I think about it so many times. Ephesians 6 and 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, and supplication for all saints. That simply means when you supplicate, you are praying for other people. We're told in James, pray one for another that ye might be healed. Praying for others, God will heal you. God will minister to you. That's why we don't cease to pray. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it is grievous. Sometimes the storm is tempestuous. Sometimes we are weak. Sometimes we are worn. But He remains faithful to the very end of all things. I want to play this song one more time in closing today. Thank you. God bless you. And I pray in some small way today's program has touched you in your trial. This program has touched you in your suffering. This program has touched you in your pain. Listen to the words of the song.
Praise God.
Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.